Time once again for a wine chat with Jack Farrow from Haskell's on this brisk Saturday morning. Good morning, Jack.
Yes, a brisk good morning to you too, Denny.
Yeah, still 31
out there.
It is. By the way, I have to tell you before you get on with your information today that I really enjoyed seeing you and Ted and the rest of the crew doing your BOGO dance on Facebook.
Teach me how to dance.
You've got the moves there, my friend.
That is funny. Thank you for that.
Yes. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today I thought I would talk about a very unusual grape type that's gaining in popularity all the time. It's Viognier. Viognier is a white grape variety, and it has a noble history, but it's usually found. Viognier is a white grape variety, and it has a noble history, but it's usually found in the Rhone Valley. That's where it got its start. In fact, in the early 60s, it almost went extinct. There was only one property that was using the Viognier grape. It's called Chateau Grillet, G-R-I-L-L-E-T. And Chateau Grillet is the smallest appellation in France. It's less than 5 acres, and it's a single property, and it's appellation Controlli Chateau Grillet, and how they ever arranged that, no one ever knows, but that was the only place they were growing Viognier. And then all of a sudden, some other people discovered it. It's mainly grown in the Rhone Valley, and that's where Chateau Grillet is. And then there's also a white wine from the Rhone called Condru. And the Condru is a wonderful, full-bodied white wine, as is Chateau Grillet, but they're very intense. They really display Viognier at its top form, which maybe isn't the best way to drink it. Where it's developed popularity because it's grown now in the central part of France, the Languedoc, and the wine produced there is more accessible. It isn't quite as steely and austere as Chateau Grillet or Condru, and it's becoming more and more popular. Viognier can be found in North and South America, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, etc., and all over South America. And in this country, it's even grown in the Finger Lake districts of New York. And of all places, they have a fairly big vineyard of Viognier. Is Monticello in Virginia, Jefferson's home. And like Chardonnay, Viognier produces a very complex white wine, full-bodied with lush character, has wonderful aromas of peaches, pears. There's a good minerality to it, but it's easily ruined by too much exposure to oxygen and other things. It really is a winemaker's grape type. I mean, you have to know what you're doing to produce good Viognier because it's a persnickety grape, if you will. It likes hot weather, but it doesn't like it too hot. And so that's why it's always done so well in the Rhone Valley. You know, it gets very hot there during the day, but at night those Mistral winds blow in and cool everything off and give us the Viognier a long chance to a long, warm growing season where the grapes fully ripen. As I said, it's a winemaker's grape type, so you really have to have an appreciation for the skills of the guy who's putting it together, because when it's made properly, it is wonderful. And as I said, nowadays you can get these that come from the Languedoc. They're very modestly priced, under $15, and it really shows Viognier off. The origins of Viognier are veiled in shrouded mists of history, if you will. It for sure originally came from what today is Croatia, much like our Zinfandel came from Croatia as well. And it was undoubtedly planted by the Romans as they colonized that Rhone Valley thousands of years ago. And they brought grapes with them. And the Phoenicians also had vineyard planting there. So it's very easy to see why it came from that part of the world. And in fact, when we talk about Condrinu, that was occupied by a Roman group of outlaws, where the name Condrinu actually comes from. The name Viognier is sort of obscure. It might be the city of French city of Vienne, which was a major Roman outpost. And that's probably the reason. As I say, back in the 60s, the only place you could get it was Chateau Grier. And then in the early 70s, it began to have a renaissance, and people began to appreciate it and realized you didn't have to have that Grier, that big, robust flavor. You could do these in a lighter wine, and then they began to export the grape type, and boy, it was off to the races then. As I said, Viognier can be a difficult grape to grow because it's susceptible, it's temperamental, etc. But when you get it, and you get a good one, it really is terrific. Now, some people claim that there's two distinct varietals of Viognier, and one is the one that's in the Rhone Valley, and the other one is the one that's in the Languedoc. But it's made from the exact same grape. It might have some differences, but they'd be very, very small. And the nice thing about it, as I said, as the ones from the Languedoc have shown, it's accessible right now. It almost fits in that category ABC, anything but Chardonnay. It's a nice white varietal that is totally different from Chardonnay. I find it absolutely terrific. And it's interesting to me to try it from California and Australia. They benefit from the New World approach to these wines, and Viognier is showing itself to be very adaptable in spite of being a difficult grape to grow. It's picked up on these new areas, and it might be the different clones or whatever they're doing, but they have had some remarkable successes in South Africa, New Zealand. And last year I had one from Japan. I didn't even know Japan had any vineyards till I tasted the Japanese Viognier, and it was very pleasant, I might add. So it's a very unusual grape type, and in my opinion, it's sort of worth seeking out because it's so interesting. If you're having a spicy Asian meal, like Thai cuisine or something like that, Viognier is just marvelous. And like I say, it's such an adaptable thing. In the Rhone Valley, they used to use it a lot, not so much anymore, but they used to use it a lot when they were making Syrah, which is a red grape type, and the principal grape type of the Northern Rhone, Croix Hermitage and Hermitage. Well, maybe they add a little Viognier to that red wine to stabilize it and give it some more body. And, you know, that's hard to imagine because Syrah is such a big, bold wine itself that the Viognier could accomplish that. But starting in the 80s, Viognier left its home port of France and the Languedoc as well as the Rhone Valley and went around the world. And plantings showed up in Canada and the United States, Central Coast. We have over 2,000 acres planted in the Central Coast. In the entire Rhone Valley, they have less than 900. So it's developing some popularity, and as I said, it's kind of worth seeking out, whether you choose a South American one from Argentina or from Chile, or you want to try an Australian one, or the ones from New Zealand. It really is terrific. Viognier wines have floral aromas, and as I said, they have a wonderful aftertaste. There's a good crispness to them, and they finish so nicely, particularly when you're having some spicy cuisine. It's so nice, it goes so well with that, that it's worth trying. The one I particularly like, in fact, I think it's the best Viognier I've ever had, is something called La Forge. And La Forge comes from the Languedoc. It's owned by Paul Maas, who's a brilliant grower. And as I said earlier, you have to be pretty smart to handle Viognier because it's very temperamental and really does show the skills of the winemaker. when you get a good one. And this LaForge is really worth seeking out. It's a delicious wine, and as I said, it's under $15. So you really can't go wrong. And when we say ABCs of wine, that, you know, anything but Chardonnay, there's a lot of grapes like the Viognier that are kind of overlooked. My favorite crusade is Riesling. You know, Riesling is one of the great white wines of the world. It's remarkable. It can be bone dry, it can be semi-dry, it can even be sweet. But those vineyards in the Rhone Valley are in the Rhine Valley and the Mosel Valley are just absolutely beautiful. If you go down those rivers and they have cruises where you can take lunch or dinner and go up and down and you see them working on those vineyards, and they work on them with pulleys and ropes because they're so steep you can't really walk up and down them. And they produce remarkable wines in Riesling. As a matter of fact, a couple nights ago we had an appetizer of smoked trout, and of course we had a bottle of Riesling with it. What a delight. The marriage was made in heaven. In fact, anytime I have any kind of smoked pork or anything like that, I always try a Rhine wine, or Riesling from the Rhine Valley. They make Riesling everywhere, but it's really at its best when it's grown there. You know, it has a noble history there. Again, the Romans planted all those vineyards up and down the Rhine and Mosel River, and then the monks came in a little later and built all these wonderful properties that they specialized in wine. And the most popular wine in the 1500s all the way through the 1800s in Europe were Rieslings. And so, you know, we've overlooked that varietal, in my opinion. So when you're looking to try a new wine like a Viognier, why not give a Riesling a shot? Because it's so overlooked. And like you say, I can't imagine really what happened. People blame it on the blooming of White Zinfandel and a few other things, but that can't be it, because even the great estates have slowed down in their selling of German wines throughout the world. It just is a grapevine that's out of favor at the moment. But let me tell you, as I said, if you're having a smoked pork chop on the grill, or you're going to have some smoked trout, if you have a glass of Riesling with it, you'll know when you drink it, God's in heaven and all's right with the world, because it's a marriage that is absolutely perfect, in my opinion.
Well, go ahead, Jack.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for folks that want to find out more, I mean, they can just, as always, go to any one of the Haskell's locations. Can we talk a little bit about the BOGO situation?
Yes, of course. You know, we have what we call BOGOs, where you buy one and get the second one absolutely free. In fact, we coined that expression about 32 years ago, and now it's used everywhere, BOGO. So we have our annual fall sale, and we have over 50 wines where you buy one and get the second one free. And they are remarkable values, let me tell you. We sell thousands of them, and there's good reason we do. It's quality in the bottle, and you buy one and get the second one absolutely free. And like I say, it's one of our best deals of the year, and it's very popular. It has a big following that we've developed over the past 30 years. And like I say, the wines we pick, as I've mentioned here, like the Viognier LaForge, you buy, that doesn't happen to be a BOGO, but it's an unusual value in the bottle. And believe me, our BOGOs are the same way. They're unusual values in the bottle, and there's a lot of them to choose from. As I said, there's over 50 of them. And, you know, speaking of choosing, the folks at wine at Haskell's love to help you choose wine. And whether you're going to have a banquet or just burgers on the grill, they can help you pick up a wine that will go perfectly with that and will not break the bank. There's a Haskell's near you where you can visit the vineyards of the world, pick up different BOGOs, and pick up your next favorite bottle of wine. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, one in Excelsior, in Faribault, right off at 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines. Free parking in downtown Minneapolis on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's in Minnetonka, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, by all means, go to Haskell's.com. And whatever you do, do not forget, we do deliver.
And I sure like those BOGO moves. I'll tell you, you've got the moves. Jack, thank you so much. Always.
Get someone to help me learn how to dance.
I urge our listeners to check out that video with the BOGO dance. All right, Jack, thanks so much. Always fun. Let's do this again next week.
You know what, Denny? I'm going to look forward to that.
Jack Farrell from Haskell's.